Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you're here with us, especially if you're here for the very first time. We're pleased that you're with us. Is this microphone on? No. Okay, I will project until it comes on. How about that? We're delighted that you're here, especially if you're here for the very first time. We're pleased that you're with us and hope you'll join us again throughout the year and make this your church home. Those of us who are here week in and week out will come and greet you and welcome you and express our wish that you will become a part of our family here. If we don't get to you quickly enough, you introduce yourselves to us because we're pleased that you're with us. One way to become a part of our family here is to take part in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to list a few of these opportunities. You can find a lot more in your bulletin insert. First, youth parent meeting today at 9:45 in the four-story theater. All 7th to 12th grade parents are invited. And then a youth council meeting will be today at 11 a.m. in the youth game room. 7th through 12th graders are welcome to come and help plan for the 30-hour famine and the Green Street Ministries and more. Our youth small groups start back tonight, January 8th, from 5 to 7 p.m., and all 7th through 12th graders are welcome. We'll have dinner, please bring $5, games, and great conversations. And if you've never been before, just show up. Folks will be there to help you feel a part of the group. Our preschool part-time program is holding their registration now for the 2017-2018 school year. The hours for this program are 9 to 2:30. If you're not currently on the waiting list, there is no waiting list. We do not currently have a waiting list, but if you would like to enroll, please call Lynn McClary. Church members have priority January 3rd through 17. For any 20-something or 30-something who's interested, our Brood Theology meeting has returned for 2017. It'll be on Wednesday, January 11th at Jackalope Brewery at 6 p.m. You can read more about that in your bulletin insert. Also, college students will resume meeting for lunch next Sunday, the 15th. And also on the 15th in the evening between 5 and 7, we're going to have a conversation here talking about race in your community with the Reverend Dr. F. Willis Johnson. You can read more about that in your bulletin insert. We are also having healthcare discussions at 9:45 today in McWhorter Hall, and also on Wednesday evening this coming week following our Wednesday evening dinner. So I hope you'll join us for any or all of those that apply to you. I need to make one correction. The flowers mentioned in the bulletin in memory of Max Nance are actually the flowers in Reed Hall. The flowers in the sanctuary are in memory of Carol Kroll, and they were employed in her service yesterday. Where you go looking for wisdom? Universities? Books? Online? Well, stick around and see where some wise folk went looking for wisdom.
Thank you. morning, a light breaks into the darkness. As the Magi once did, we seek today the light of Christ.
We follow the path illuminated by Christ.
The light of Christ is the revelation of God's presence in the world.
We celebrate the revelation of grace that shines into our darkness.
Let us acknowledge the darkness in our lives. Repent of our sin and receive the light of God's glory. Let us pray. Christ, revelation of God on earth, this epiphany we confess that we do not always see you in the world. We turn away from the path you illuminate and instead make our own maps. Guided by our own desires, we stumble down our ways, filled with fear of the future. Uncertain about our next steps. Let us learn to recognize your presence in the world. Let us remember that wisdom does not come from knowing what lies ahead, but from following the light as we walk. Enter into the revelation of Christ, knowing that your sins are forgiven. May you find peace in the light of the world, which illuminates your path and guides your feet.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. And this morning, Michael Joshua Weiss and Vivian Lee Weiss bring their children, Margaret Debbie Weiss and Peter Lawson Weiss, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now, Vivian and Michael, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround them with the community of love and friends, that they may grow in their service to others.
We will pray for them, that they may become true disciples who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that in dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. All right, Miss Margaret, you'll stand right here. Perfect. Margaret Doubley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll stand here and everyone put your hands on Miss Maggie. Margaret Doubley, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Peter, if you'll come over here. Thank you. Peter Lawson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, you can lay hands on Peter. Now the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Let's walk to the center. Perfect.
Now will the congregation please stand and face these children. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister and brother to Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Margaret Debeley and Peter Lawson to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our
together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to do so. You can bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend if that makes you feel more comfortable. Does anybody know why we give gifts at Christmas time? It's because the Magi, the people we celebrate today, brought gifts to the Christ child. Now, they were kind of funny gifts for a young child. They were gold. And while it might have looked very attractive to a young child wouldn't know what to do with it. Frankincense, which is incense that you burn and it smells nice. And myrrh, which was kind of a salve or an ointment, a kind of oil that you would put on, and it was supposed to help with some healing, and also it was put on dead people. What in the world would a baby do with that? But anyway, the reason we give gifts to this day is that the Magi brought gifts to the Christ child. I want to tell you about one of my favorite gifts ever. And it didn't come right at Christmas. It came before Christmas. I was a very sickly child. I've mentioned that before. And I was really pretty sick for a long while. And I had wanted this monkey. Actually, it was a chimpanzee. It wasn't real. It was stuffed. Actually, he was a TV star. His name was J. Fred Muggs, and he starred on the Today Show with a man named Dave Garraway. Some of your grandparents might remember this. And I just loved this monkey. He had a plastic face and plastic hands, and he had fur all over him. I wanted that monkey. Well, he was a little expensive, my parents thought, and so they said no. At first. But then I didn't get over whatever it was I was sick with, and it took a while. And finally, my dad decided he was going to get that monkey, but he was going to surprise me, and he wasn't going to wait till Christmas. So one evening, he came in from work. He was a mechanic, and he came in from work, and he brought to me a little red plastic hat, which was the hat that J. Fred Muggs was wearing. He didn't bring the whole monkey. He just brought the hat to me. I looked at it, kind of feeling sorry for myself. I said, well, at least I got his hat. So my dad said, go on out in the hallway and see what's out there. When I did, there was the whole chimpanzee, stuffed, of course. I loved that monkey. In fact, I loved that monkey so much that when I went to the hospital sometime later and took him with me, of course I took him with me, a nurse tried to trade a baby for that monkey to see if I would trade. Finally, after several days, I decided I might trade that monkey for a little brother or sister, but of course she couldn't do that. So I carried that monkey until it was almost worn out. And my mother finally had to sew it up where the stuffing was coming out. She had to put some new parts to him when I wore through the fur. But I still have that monkey at home. put away very carefully. It's the kind of gift that you don't forget about, because it wasn't just one more present. It was a gift of love that my mom and dad showed to me when I was at a really low point in my life. Well, I'm going to be talking about the gifts and the Magi and some children who are at a really low point in their lives, including Jesus. When I do, remember that monkey. Think about maybe some gifts that you've received that are really, really special because you know they are gifts of love from people who love you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us people to love us. Thank you for giving us very special gifts to remind us of those people. But they also remind us of your great love for us and the gift that you gave us, the gift of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. Well, now, in the Gospel of Matthew, there are no shepherds, there aren't hosts of angels singing, right? That's Luke. Gabriel doesn't appear to Mary to give her the news. No, that's Luke. The characters who appear in Matthew are Joseph, of course. Mary appears, but it's told looking over Joseph's shoulder, just like the Gospel of Luke tells the birth narrative looking over Mary's shoulder. And the Magi, who don't appear anywhere else in Scripture, appear in the Gospel of Matthew. In a little while, we'll be singing a hymn called We Three Kings. It's a great hymn, and I love it, but it's completely wrong. Okay? We don't know that there were three. There were three gifts. How many of these Magi there were, we have no idea. Nowhere does it say that they were kings. They were astrologers, they were scholars, they were priests, okay? Magi comes from the word magoi, which means magician. It's the same word from which we get magician, all right? We don't even know that they were wise men only, because there could have been women included in that group. Magoi is just plural. What we do know is they were not Jewish. So these Gentiles, these people who had nothing to do with Jesus' religion, came to find him. We do know that they were stargazers, that they were astrologers. So it's no surprise to find that they're following a star to the destination that they're seeking. We do know that as they follow that star, the first place they go is the place where they think they will find power and wisdom. They apparently have gotten their hands on some Hebrew prophecies. And they are looking for a child who is born to be king of the Jews. So who do they go to? The current reigning king of the Jews, Herod. Now, Herod is not a popular leader. The people did not proclaim him king of the Jews. The emperor proclaimed him king of the Jews. Most of the Jewish people don't believe he's a king. Many of them don't even believe he's Jewish. His grandfather was Idumean. But the emperor has given him that power. And it's a very dangerous thing to go to a reigning king and ask him where this child who was born to take his place is when he doesn't have any children around, small children around him. Herod is so insecure in his own power, knowing that it doesn't depend on the popularity of the people, but on the rich and the powerful elite among the Romans, that what he says to the Magi is, you go find that baby, you go find that king of the Jews, and when you do, you bring him to me, because, yeah, I got something I want to do to him. What he says he wants to do is pay him homage, to honor him, perhaps even worship him, what he really wants to do, because he is so insecure in his power that he is threatened by a small child, he wants to kill him. And so, they follow the star, they go to Bethlehem. In Matthew, there is no census. There is no traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Apparently, in Matthew, Joseph and Mary live in Bethlehem, and the child might be as old as 2 years. So when they come to the house where the star stops, they go inside and they find the father and the mother and a toddler. Well, maybe Herod was right to be afraid, huh? And they bring gifts to this toddler. They're not the kind of gifts you would expect to give to a child, as I mentioned in the children's story. We've read them symbolically over the years. The gold, what happened to the gold? Well, my guess is this refugee family used it to travel to Egypt, to live in Egypt, and then to return when Herod had died. Frankincense, it's a form of prayer and worship. The Psalms say our prayers rise like incense. Some traditions still use incense as part of their service. Myrrh, like I say, it was an ointment, an oil. It was perfumed. And it was often used in preparation of the dead. To me, a more important point is they did not give their gifts to Herod. They didn't give their gifts to the person who was sitting on the throne, who was most powerful. They were looking for true power and wisdom, and they found it in a small child. They chose to open their treasure chest for a toddler, not for the person who was the reigning king of the Jews. I think that's important. They found wisdom and power in a child, so much so that being warned in a dream that Herod was going to seek the child's life, they don't go back and tell Herod where to find him. In the hopes of protecting the child, they go home by a different route. And the family, the Holy Family, being warned in a dream that Herod was going to seek the life of the child, escape into Egypt. Not everyone was so lucky. As you know, Herod, the insecure king of the Jews, had all the 2-year-olds and under killed. That day, that event is remembered on December 28th, the feast day of Holy Innocents. I've mentioned before that's also our Sarah's birthday. On that day, those holy innocents took on a face for me. They've had that face ever since, and it's the face of every single child. What leader is so insecure that he has to do away with his rival, even if that rival is a child? That's not the kind of power that the Magi were looking for. That's not the kind of wisdom they were looking for. That's not the person they brought their gifts for. I'm going to suggest to you that when we go looking for wisdom and power, maybe the people who are already in power are not the place to look. I'm going to suggest to you that when we go looking for true wisdom and power, like the Magi, we go to children. We talk a lot about how we value children in this culture. But look what we pay the people who take care of our money, and look what we pay the people who take care of our children. It will tell you truly how we value children in this culture. But it seems to me, if we're able to listen to children, if we're able to hear the wisdom that God plants in them, that we, like the Magi, will have our route through the rest of our life changed by what they have to share. I'm going to share one more story. It's about Sarah. I've asked her permission, and it's okay to share this. When Sarah and Lizzie were very young, Margaret's mom became very sick. Margaret had to stay with her in a nursing home in Columbia, and so I would stay with the girls. A neighbor had given us a book of Bible stories that was illustrated. I think it was from Czechoslovakia, but the illustrations were gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. And there was one particular illustration that seemed to fascinate the girls. It was a picture or an illustration of the disciples and Jesus, a kind of ghostly face of Jesus, breathing on them. Remember, he breathed on his disciples and said, "My peace I leave with you." Well, it was a beautiful picture. And they would often stop as we read those Bible stories along the way. Well, I had mentioned this to Margaret and how they were fascinated with that picture. And in a conversation with the girls at some point, I'm not sure why I asked this, but I asked, "What do you think God looks like?" And Sarah says, "Daddy," like I was the dumbest guy in the world, like this should have been obvious. She said, "God's a..." I said, "What?" Because, you know, ruach in Hebrew means breath, means spirit, means wind. It is the breath of God, is spirit. Pneuma in Greek. She didn't know Greek or Hebrew. So she took that Bible book, storybook, paged through it to the page of the ghostly figure of Jesus breathing on his disciples and said, "See, God's a..." How can I argue with that? Well, a little bit later, we all went down because Margaret's mom was very close to death. And I happened to be with her in the early morning hours when she died. And so came home, and the girls hadn't quite gotten up yet. Margaret and I talked about how are we going to tell them. And knowing these stories, Margaret, who is much wiser than I in these things, when the girls got up, she told them that Nanny had died, that we would go to the funeral home, we would see her body, but that her was with God. Made perfectly good sense. Because they had given us the language to talk to them about Nanny's dying. Well, we did just that. Had the funeral, came back. We were staying at Nanny's house, and one of my jobs was to give the girls their baths. They were in the bathtub together. They were taking a bath, and Margaret was standing in the door. In the midst of the conversation, which was not at that point about Nanny, Sarah said, "Now, Daddy was with Nanny when she died, right?" And Margaret said, "Yeah, that's right." And I said, "Yes, I was with Nanny." And then she continued. She wasn't quite finished. She said, "And she gave him her last..." And she had. I'd literally been standing over her when that last breath emerged. But when Jesus breathed on his disciples, he was giving them his peace. He was giving them his spirit. Now, there's no way I could have explained that to two small children. But that's how a small child explained it to us. Because she had the language to be able to talk about our relationship with Nanny, the loss we had experienced, but to frame it as a part of the Bible story that she had heard and the picture she had seen in that book. She now teaches toddlers in preschool. She now teaches small children in preschool, gleaning their wisdom from them. I wonder what kind of world we would have if, like the Magi, we turned our backs on those who were supposed to be so smart and so powerful and so wise, and began to truly value children, to truly listen to their concerns, to read them those stories that will give them the language to talk back to us in a way that helps make us wise and compassionate, just exactly the way Jesus did for the wise men. I think we might be a better world after all if we were able to do just that. At least that's my prayer. We affirm our faith in lots of ways, and today we are going to affirm our faith using words from Scripture. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 889 in your hymnal and join me, where it says people, in our affirmation. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory, raised indeed to the city of Christ.
We welcome all of you who come to worship here today with us, and if you're a guest among us, we extend to you a special invitation and invite you to join us through these doors out in Reed Hall immediately after the service for coffee and for fellowship there. The ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. And they'll be stationed at Reed Hall and out in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. The pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. And on one side of the card, you can record any comments that you may have for church staff or lay leadership. And if you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your information, please note that on the card with your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayers, for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or confidential, and then you can place the card in the offering plate in just a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance here this morning. You will find the attendance pad near the center aisle. Please pass it down the pew if you have not already done so. As it's passed back towards the center aisle, we invite you to note those who are seated with you on the pew and to greet them immediately following the service. We want to offer today our sympathy to the families. Virginia Tipton Craig died December 25. Graveside services will be held on December 30 at Woodlawn Memorial Park. Colonel Chester W. Wagoner Sr., Mike, died December 30th. Services were held at Forest Lawn Funeral Home in Goodlettsville on Wednesday, and among his survivors are his wife, Dixie Wagoner. John Nance and his family are mourning the death of his mother, Tori Baxter Nance, who died Thursday, January 5, at the time of this publication. The service plans were unknown, but we now do know them. Visitation will be Wednesday, January 25, 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock. Service will be at 11 o'clock in Howell Chapel at Westminster Presbyterian. And now I invite you to join me as we pray. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God in Christ, you embrace people of every nation and make them members of the same body, sharers in the promise of the gospel. For the Holy Church of God, that through its faithful witness, the wisdom of God in its rich variety, let it be known in heaven and earth. Loving God, you judge the people with righteousness and the poor with justice. We pray that nations, rulers, and authorities forsake violence and be guided by the light of truth, so that righteousness may flourish and justice abound in every land. As the Magi from afar came to visit the Holy Family and found a place of rest and worship, we pray that Nashville, Tennessee, be a community of hospitality for all who live here. We pray that West End United Methodist Church be a place that welcomes stranger and shelters the refugee. In your providence, loving God, the land yields prosperity for the people. We pray for our planet Earth that we may dwell peacefully with nature, be good stewards of its resources, and share its abundance to help all of creation to flourish. We offer our prayers for all those who suffer cruelty in the form of poverty, and all who endeavor to transform systems of economic justice. We pray for those whose bodies are enfeebled by disease or whose spirits are debilitated by illness, and may they be restored to wholeness of life. Gracious God, because you've called us your children, we are bold to ask for what we need, confident in your goodness as we pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the Magi brought gifts to Christ at his birth and offered their lives in worship, with thankful hearts, let us now offer ourselves and our gifts to God.
Now go forth to seek God's power and wisdom in the places that God has put it, among the least of these, among the children, knowing that God, who loves all that God has created, Jesus Christ, who was God's love and is God's love, walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to love as Christ loves, will be with you. Go in peace.